Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Nathan. I'm the pastor here at our PM service, and I'm so glad that you're here. Our goal every week when we gather is to do two things. One is to touch heaven, which I believe that we've done some of that tonight. The other is to engage our city, to bring the values and the message of heaven into a way that we can engage with that personally and then take it out from here into our world. Heaven is a powerful place, more powerful than our speakers, if you believe it or not. And we are inviting a very powerful God into our life and into our world. And what's funny is that there's been a lot of powerful anomalies happening around me in an electrical sort of kind over the past week. Ilsa and I, my wife and I, we were smelling something in our apartment for a good week or two. We thought it was fish. We thought maybe a rat died in our wall. We thought maybe our neighbor died. You know, you just never know. Turned out that there were burning wires in our wall, kind of more disconcerting than all of those things, almost. And then today I was sitting in a coffee shop. Kenny was there. All's quiet. Everybody has their earphones in, and glass shattering with a large crack, and a light bulb just exploded all over this poor fella sitting in the corner. And I'd never seen that happen before. But apparently light bulbs can explode. Yeah. I mean, not the inside, the outside. I know that, like, the little filament on the inside can explode, but I've seen that. But the glass exploded all over this guy. All that to say, when the power of God comes into our world, it needs a good channel to come through. We need, and we speak of clean vessels, clean people that are walking in alignment with the calling and the power of God. And that's us when we step into the grace of Jesus. Because individually, there's no way that we can personally do that. We cannot handle the power of heaven flowing through us. Just like that light bulb could not handle the power of the wires in my wall. Disconcertingly, could not handle the power that was flowing through it. And so we are going to talk a little bit tonight about how Jesus provides for us a way to start to step into the power of heaven and approach God in such a way that he can start moving through our lives, and it's only by the grace of Jesus. The passage that I'm going to read from tonight, I've heard it preached on so many different ways, and I think every time I've ever heard this passage, it's always applied to us. And I think it's always, here's the tips and tricks on how to get over and get through temptation. But tonight I want to bring a little bit of a different angle to it, which is here how Jesus conquers temptation. Here's how Jesus destroys and obliterates temptation. It's different. Jesus does it. We can't. But it doesn't mean that we walk in defeat. It means that we walk in victory. Let's read the passage. We've been walking through the book of Luke for a few weeks, and we're going to be walking through the book of Luke all the way until Easter when Jesus rises from the dead, and we're going to read it in Scripture, and we're going to celebrate it in our church, and because Jesus is alive. So we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. So here we go. And Jesus was full of the power, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, we could stop there and probably do a whole message just on how the power of God does at times lead us into a wilderness. Just because you find yourself in a dry place does not mean that you find yourself outside of the will of God. Now, if you've done something stupid to get yourself there, then maybe that was you and not God. Let's not just blame God for all of our problems. But there are times that we follow God, we are obedient, we do the faithful things, and we end up in a wilderness. God's trying to do something. God's trying to do something powerful and good in your life. By the Spirit in the wilderness. For 40 days being tempted by the devil. It gets worse. And he ate nothing, even worse. for those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry, probably an understatement. He was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said to him, to you I will give all of this authority and all their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it'll be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you and guard you. And on their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report went out through all the surrounding country. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would demonstrate to us how Jesus destroys temptation. God, so that we could walk in victory that we've never experienced. Lord, we all have things in our lives that we're dealing with. We all have personal wildernesses. We all have temptations. We all have things that we know should not be in our life that are in our life. And I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit tonight, you would give us fresh victory so we could go from here filled with the power of heaven, ready to engage our city. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when I grew up in church and when I heard this story, I thought, well, those don't sound like terribly tempting things. I've never been tempted to turn stones into bread. I've never seen all of the kingdoms of the earth in just a moment. And I've never, you know, and then when the devil appears, if the devil ever shows up, just say no. And I kind of wanted to, you know, just say no, Jesus, it's going to be okay. And just like when I was growing up, the campaign was just say no to drugs. And everybody knows it's just that easy, right? It is not quite that easy. And so I had to kind of crawl into, okay, these are temptations. What is this about? And so you kind of, you know, if you ever picture the devil, the horns and stuff, so I go, okay, so he probably, the devil masquerades as an angel of light. So maybe he turned up like this. Maybe this was the devil. And, you know, hey, Jesus, you've been fasting for 40 days. Here's some fried carbs from the future. And you know that they're tempting, but they leave you disappointed. Just like sin, they will always let you down. They're so the memories of the childhood affectation, they come flooding back, and you think, well, we'll fulfill, but it never does. Maybe this is how the devil appeared. I think it was still more complex. I think it was still more tempting than the devil turning up with McDonald's. And in order to understand this, I want to kind of crawl into all of our temptations for just a moment. Oftentimes we think of temptation as something that happens outside of us, something that happens outside of ourselves. We think it's scenarios. So let's ask the question, what is temptation? We oftentimes think in scenarios. Something like a project at work goes sideways, something that you were involved in, and the temptation all of a sudden approaches to blame shift and say, you know, that wasn't really my idea. That was John's idea over the office down the hall. That was somebody else's fault. So temptation, it approaches you. You know, an alluring image pops up on your computer screen or on your phone. Temptation, you know, it's there. So just say no. Just say no. You know, your boyfriend or girlfriend invites you to stay the night. Temptation. You know, just say no. It's out there. Just say no to those temptations. Keep them at arm's length and you'll be okay. But temptation is a little bit more complex than that. We read in James, he speaks very clearly, very pointedly about what temptation is. He said, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive a crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. For each person is tempted when he is lured away and enticed by his own desires. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. What the picture is that there is a circumstance, but the circumstance squeezes and lures our desire outside of us. And then that desire pulls us into, kind of conceives and gives birth to something new inside of us, which is sin. But there's something in us that is temptation. There's something in us that is desire. And that desire, I think we all know it. We all know it probably very well. We've all probably given in to those desires. But there's something in us. What the scripture says very clearly is that temptation is not the scenario that happens outside of ourselves, but the temptation is inside of us. The temptation is to save face when something goes sideways because we're prideful people and we don't want to take responsibility. The temptation is to give into our own insecurities and our own desires within us when the alluring image pops up. The temptation is to feel the security when the girlfriend, boyfriend invites you over, or to experience the pleasure. It's something that's inside of us. It's something that's crying out on the inside of us. And so how do you tempt the perfect God if you are Satan? How do you tempt God incarnate, Jesus Christ? Well, he waits till he's weak, and he waits till he has desires. And in this moment, Jesus has desire. And they're good desires. They're not bad desires. Desire is not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes we do desire bad things, but oftentimes it's very good things that we want that are then twisted by the enemy. And so here, I think we can relate to some of Jesus' temptations here. In fact, I think we can actually, in fact, relate here. Because remember what I said, we've probably never been tempted to turn rocks into bread. But I think we've all interacted with hunger. And maybe the question behind it is, what are we relying on for our sustenance? Where do you get your sustenance from? What sustains you? Here in this moment, the devil comes to him and says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Here Jesus is deeply hungry. Me and you, we have many different kinds of sustenance. Obviously, we have our three meals a day, but some of us rely on food a little bit more, and we have four, five, or six for our sustenance. Some of us, entertainment, stimulation, the screen, we need that thing to sustain us. Others, it's relationships, love, affection. If you're my wife, you need a chat, right? A cup of coffee, cup of tea, and a chat. That's my wife's sustenance. For others, it's work. We need to feel productive. If you're not productive, who are you? If you're not needed in the office, if you're not needed in the home, who are you? We need to keep the wheel spinning to be sustained. We each have our thing. And in this moment, Jesus has been hanging out in the backside of the wilderness for 40 days. Let's think about it. He's experienced none of those things. There's been very little stimulation. There's been very little productivity. There's been absolutely no affection. There's been absolutely no food. The man is hungry. He's hungry emotionally. He's hungry physically for food. He's hungry intellectually. I don't know if he took a book with him. He certainly didn't have a cell phone. He's hungry. There's not a lot to do in the wilderness. You know, he didn't pop to the local bodega and have a chat with the guy behind the counter because he was lonely, which is what you sometimes just want to do. Jesus was hungry. And the devil capitalizes, Satan capitalizes on a good desire and says, turn these rocks into bread. Feed yourself from something that you shouldn't be feeding yourself from. Find your sustenance, find your sustaining power outside of God's sustaining power. And for me and for you, it's easy to get distracted and find our sustenance in so many other things. Find our sustaining life and force outside of God. Hebrews chapter 1 says he's the God that holds the universe together by the word of his power. He sustains the universe. I think he can sustain you and me. But oftentimes we're so busy, so caught up in the day-to-day that we forget to even rely on him because our world is so darn comfortable. Jesus responds, and I'll just go ahead and tell you, he always responds from Scripture, and it is smart to counter. I'll give you the tips and tricks here. It's always smart to counter the temptations of the devil or the temptations of your flesh, really, let's be honest, yourself, with Scripture. Jesus answers, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone. He's got food that the devil does not know about. He's got food straight from heaven, sustaining power straight from heaven. Church, I believe that we need to lean into that power more and more every day. The next thing that the devil tempts him with, if you just read it and don't understand what's going on, it sounds odd. All of the kingdoms of the world, where do you get your value? I think is what the question really is. The devil comes to him and says, I will give you all authority and their glory. If you worship me, it'll be yours. Again, an odd one. You just kind of want to be like, Jesus, just say no. This is an easy one. Just say no. But I believe that Jesus had a very godly desire. God had sent him on a mission to reclaim the world from Satan. And here Satan is saying, I'll give you the shortcut. I believe that there's many godly desires that we have in us, whether it's for a marriage or for success in our job or for creativity or expression, that there are many shortcuts we could take that are not godly to get those things. And so here the devil is giving him the shortcut to the very mission, Jesus' whole purpose. He's saying, I'll just give it to you. Here's the shortcut. Here's the shortcut. So the question is, where are we going to find our value? Where are we going to find our purpose? Where are we going to worship? What do we value more? What God gives you or the God who gives it to you? What do you value more? What God gives you, what God has promised you, or the God who has promised you, the God who has given it to you? Because there are shortcuts to get the thing that God has promised. But we need to stay in our path and stay in our lane. And so all of a sudden, I can understand what Jesus is facing here. Third thing that Jesus faces, if the devil can't get him to burn out or foul out, then he'll get him to drop out. And it's basically the question to you and to me, what will make you quit? What will make you quit? At what point do you just draw the line and say, enough's enough, I quit? The devil says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you and guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up lest you strike your foot against the stone. The devil now, third time around, he uses Scripture. Psalm 91, the great protection psalm. Beneath the shadow of his wing, I will the Most High. You know that one. Psalm 91. We've all got it memorized. Devil did. Under extreme exhaustion, hunger, and loneliness, Jesus is given this option. Just give up. Call it quits. And he's given a spiritual excuse to do it. I heard it said this week, if it's you and God in a room long enough, then you can convince yourself that God said anything that you wanted to say. Something like that. It was a call to live in community. You can find essentially whatever you want in the Bible. You can find even spiritual justification for this. My encouragement is don't stay in the room by yourself too long. Get in a connect group. Get in a community. Know people in on your thoughts and what's going on inside of you. We care. We can hear it. We want to stand with you and encourage you in those times, in those dark times. But here Jesus faces this temptation to give up. And yes, there is a suicide kind of note, a note of suicide in here. There's also like this note of just give up and leave it to God. If it's God's will. You ever heard that one? If it's God's will, whatever. Just emotionally give up. And just say, if God wants to bring that promotion, or if God wants that nonprofit to get started, or if God wants me to write a blog, then I guess I will. Whatever it is that God has put in your heart, there's a way to give up spiritually as well. And just say, if it's God's will, then it will happen. Yes and no. God will get his message out. It just not be you that he uses to write that blog or start that nonprofit or get that promotion. Stay in the game. would be the encouragement. Jesus says, do not test. Jesus answered and said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Brothers and sisters, there's good things in store for those who just don't give up. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 and 9 says this, for the one who sows to his flesh will also reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will also from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. There needs to be a spiritual grit, I believe, inside of us, a spiritual tenacity. If God has called you to this city, if God has called you to that workplace, if God has called you to love those colleagues or forgive that person who betrayed you, stick in the game. Stay with it. Keep plugging away at it. Keep going. Don't give up. Let your friends know about what you're believing for. Write it on your wall. Get in the mirror. Bring it before the throne of grace again and again and again. Keep going. Don't give up, saint. If you've been called to it, if God has put that word in you, then don't give up. And don't pawn it off on, well, if it's God's will. I'm a big sovereignty of God guy. I lean into the providence of his grace and his love constantly. Don't give up. It's still on us to fight. It's still on us to believe. Both are true. Both are true. Don't give up. What's incredible is that after all of this, Jesus' fight with the devil is effective. It's effective. There's a story behind the story of what is happening in this passage. And the context was lost on me. It was lost on the devil, but it was not lost on Jesus. He knew what he was doing here. Thankfully, right? Jesus knew what the context of this battle was. I mean, what are you talking about? I lost it until I mentioned to Kenny. I was like, Kenny, I don't get this passage. And he's like, here, let me tell you what's going on here, Nathan. He'd read the commentaries or something. I later read the commentaries, like, oh, yeah, Kenny's right. Jesus, from three times, he quotes scripture, right? He says, it is written, it is written, it is written. Or in this translation, it is said. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. First time that was, or not the first time, but the context of that being mentioned was Moses instructing the Israelites about how God had given them manna for 40 years in the wilderness. And now they're to trust God as they enter into the promised land to continue to sustain them as they go into the promised land. If you know anything about the Bible or remember the sermon series that we just came out of in Daniel, that did not happen. They totally relied on other gods and other things to sustain them going forward. The next thing, you'll worship God alone. Again, from Deuteronomy, Moses' words to the Israelites about how they are to possess and live in the promised land. Do they worship other gods? Totally. Totally. They fail entirely. And then, again, don't test the Lord your God. They test him constantly as they go into the promised land. The children of Israel fail time and time and time again. And personally, I fail time and time and time again. And you? Yeah, you also kind of fail time and time and time again for the things that God is calling us into, the things and the promises that God is calling us into. And what Jesus is doing here is he is providing a pathway into a brand new promised land. Devil missed the context. I could miss the context. But what Jesus is doing here is he is providing a pathway of victory so that heaven and earth can collide in me and you, so that the temptations that we have given into don't own us, but we can own them, so that the temptations, when the devil comes against us, we have authority and power in those moments to not just resist, but to win through the victory of Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite our band back up and our ushers to prepare the elements as we close out here. Jesus wins. Where the Israelites failed, Jesus wins. Where personally me and you fail, Jesus wins. And in this moment against Satan, Jesus wins. Here, Satan's power is overcome, but soon, a few chapters to the right, Satan's power is utterly crushed. When Jesus will not just create bread out of some rocks, but he will become the bread of life. A few chapters later, Jesus will not just own the world, but Jesus will be given the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. He will be given a seat of authority over above all time and creation. In a few chapters, Jesus will not just cheat death, but he will die, and he'll conquer death. Jesus imparts to you and to me a victory that we could never, ever earn through our good works. And tonight we're going to celebrate the victory of our Lord as we take his communion, as we remember his body and blood given for me and for you. There is victory. The temptations that Jesus faced, I think we can relate to. They're relatable. But the good news is that Jesus didn't just relate to us. He also conquered these things. He conquered them on our behalf. He conquered them so we would have authority. When we're faced with them, where's your sustenance? Where's your value? What are you going to worship? What are you going to put your faith in? What are you going to put your trust in? When temptation comes one way, what are you going to trust in? We're going to trust in God Almighty. We're going to trust in his victory. Just as the elements come around, if you are a believer, if you want to be included in this thing, grab one of those things. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16 says this: "Since then we have a great high priest who is passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." How cool that we have a high priest who's done everything right and he's still not a judgmental jerk. He's both. All the people that do stuff right in around me or say they do everything right are judgmental. But here we have a high priest who's been tempted in every way. Therefore, he understands. There's understanding in our God. Therefore, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. God, we come to you tonight, people who know temptation, people who know the desires of our heart, people who know that there are things within us that are not lining up with your call, that are not lining up with your word, that are not lining up with the things that you want us to do. God, we admit and we confess we're broken. But God, by your power tonight, would you come and turn our hearts, change the direction of our heart away from self-service, away from self-satisfaction, onto serving you and being satisfied by you. God, tonight we declare that you're the bread of life, that in you is the fullness of the satisfaction we crave. In you is the fullness of all of the things that we've been looking for and looking at. We've tried shop therapy. We've tried actual therapy. We've tried different drugs. We've tried all sorts of things, God. And tonight we turn our hearts to you. God, forgive us. God, we repent and we turn our hearts toward you, God. You are the bread of life. You are the sustainer. God, also in you is all the value in the world. God, tonight we declare that you are glorious. We've looked for beauty, we've looked for pleasure in all sorts of different ways, but tonight we turn our heart to you, to your value, to your glory, to your beauty. We look for our value in you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you love us and receive us as we are, to change us and transform us.
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.